So the epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein, if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in debts often. Of the Jews, 5 times did I receive 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea, and journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, my daily instance, the solitude from all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is scandalized and I am not on fire? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of Damascens to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth, such a one wrapped even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words, which it is not granted to man to utter. For such a one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish. For I will say the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me. For which thing thrice I besought the Lord, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 8. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And others, some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And others, some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And others, some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up, yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, he that have ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be, to whom he said, to you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing that they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear, then the devil cometh, and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock, as they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns, which they who have heard and going their way, are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But that on the good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it and bring forth fruit in patience. Please be seated. He that had ears to hear, let him hear. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I mentioned to you last Sunday that these 3 Sundays are a time of preparation for us. They give us the opportunity to try to prepare for the time period of Lent, which we know gives us the opportunity for the Feast of Easter. And so the church reminds us, it helps us to understand of the time that we need to listen to the Word of God, because that is characteristic of the time period of Lent. It is an instruction on the Word of God. It is a way to try to help us to gain then the graces that are there for us at Easter time. And so with that, we know that our Lord a lot of times would teach by parables. He deliberately sometimes veiled things from the hearers, so in some way that they would not be guilty. Guilty because they would not then understand or hear what they are in a way rejecting. But then from that our Lord also, he would give these parables in order for the people to understand. As he says, those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Those that are willing and wanting to hear about the Word of God, that they would hear and then they would try to understand and to put it into practice. And so that is what our Lord tries to do in this gospel account. He speaks to them in parables. And he spoke to them in this parable about a sower of seed. He goes out and he sows seed in different grounds. And these grounds signify mankind, their willingness to listen to the Word of God or their unwillingness. And so from that, for the preachers of Almighty God, for his priest, they continue this practice of going out and to try to sow these seeds and preaching the Word of God, instructing. And it will depend upon those that are willing to listen, those that are willing to hear then this Word of God. And so our Lord gives four grounds, different grounds, and it is based on these grounds then whether the people will listen or not. And so we know that the seed is the Word of God. We know that the sower truly is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes and tries to sow these seeds to the different people. The last ground is the good ground, that is the fertile ground, the ground that takes in the Word of God. And so that is the one that will bear fruit, as he says. It will bear fruit and patience. And so those are the ones that are willing to hear then this Word of God. So that, in some ways, we can maybe not look at as closely, because those are the ones that they want to hear the Word of God. They want to listen. They try to live a good life. And that is what we should be striving for, clearly. Because the other three grounds, those three grounds are going to be the ones that maybe in some ways it reminds us of ourselves. Maybe a combination of the three. Maybe very clearly we are some of those grounds. And so then, at least if we can hear this message today, and then to try to put that into practice, that is what is necessary for us to try to do. Because granted, I would say for any of us, we may have some semblance of these other three grounds, because we are working our way toward being that good, fertile ground, that ground that will be pleasing to Almighty God. And so our Lord even takes the time to explain to his apostles, to his disciples, he explains this parable. And so even though it is clearly laid out for us in the gospel account, for us to look at and to read, it is still good to comment and to think about these different grounds. As I say, maybe we are a mixture of the three, or maybe we have at least some characteristics of the other three grounds. The wayside being the first ground are the ones that don't want to really listen at all. They're the ones that, yes, they might hear then the Word of God, but it is not something that they are willing to accept. It is not something that they are willing to hear and to put into practice. Because that will be the main thing that will distinguish the grounds. How do they put it into practice? How, in hearing then the Word of God, do they actually put it into their daily life? That is what will change from ground to ground. And so, as I say, very clearly, the last ground, That last ground, the good ground, are the ones that hear it and they put it into practice. So they do, in a sense we can look at, they do what is necessary in order to try to save their soul. But then before that, as I say, when you're looking at the wayside itself, and so they're the ones that do not want to listen to the word of God. They have, their heart is vain, it's unstable, it is unwilling then to listen to God. So we can say with them, it goes in one ear and out the other. It does not stay really at all with them because they have a lack of attention. We can say with this ground, they do not wish to conform to what they hear. So we can refer to them as nominal Catholics. We can refer to them that they just come for the sake of coming and that's it. Because they are unwilling to listen then to God. They are unwilling to put it into practice. And so nothing phases them. You can have sermons, you can have conferences, you can have missions, whatever. Nothing changes their life. And so for these people, they are completely deaf then to God's word. They are unwilling to conform. And so as I say, very easily, we can refer to them as nominal Catholics, as Catholics in name only. That is it. And so clearly that is a ground that the devil has a hold of. And that is why in the reference, when it talks about the birds of the air, they take advantage of this lack of interest or attention in order to destroy anything that they possibly could have heard. So the birds of the air are in reference then to the devil trying to take anything away from this soul, to destroy this soul. And so that is the first ground, the wayside, the ones that do not want to listen at all. The next ground that our Lord uses, he talks about a rocky ground. Anyone that has planted seeds, different things of that nature, well, you normally will try to make the ground where it would not have rocks in it. That you're trying to make something to grow, well, you're not going to have a bunch of rocks all around it. But these are the people that at first they will hear the word of God. They will receive it with joy. They'll be delighted in hearing this, in the goodness, the beauty that God gives. But then soon after, because they don't really take it in, they don't meditate upon it, they don't think about it, but it's more just a superficial level. Superficial meaning that it is just basically on the surface for them. So they hear then this word of God and that's it. But as I say, at first take, they're taken back by the beauty of it. And so they receive it with joy. But since it is just superficial, it does not penetrate into them. I mean, these are the people, as I say, these are clearly the ones that it is superficial for them. Their religion is just on the surface itself. And so they're the ones, if you want to try to look at an analogy, they're the ones that in good times, they're followers of our Lord. In the difficult times, they give up on it. They give up because it is too hard. As I say, because of their faith is just something that is superficial, it does not penetrate deeply into them. So these might be the people that are taken in by a sermon, by a conference, by a mission, and they go for a little while and then they hit a brick wall and then they just fall off and it's like, forget it. This is too hard, can't do this, can't keep a consistent basis of doing this. So that is the rocky ground. And as I say, it makes sense that when the seed goes, it might take for a little bit because of the ground around it, the rocks and different things, nothing will take a firm root. And so they don't meditate, they don't think, they don't consider their faith, they don't study their faith. And so it is purely something that is on the surface for them. And then the third one is amongst the thorns. And so with the thorns will signify choking up this seed, this word of God. And amongst the thorns, that is the world. And so they too, they hear the word of God. They are taken by the word of God. But there is a tendency for them that they are too caught up with this material world. And so little by little, it takes away listening to the word of God. It takes away them practicing their faith. Because they are too much taken by the world itself. They are choked up by the world. And this, again, we could probably refer to another example of more of a superficial religion. Because it has, again, not penetrated into their soul. It hasn't penetrated for them to put it in deeply into practice. Because then when all of the things of the world come to them, they're drawn to that. I mean, granted, for any of us, we know that the world is one of the enemies of the soul. The flesh, the world, and the devil. We know that these are the enemies to our soul. But yet, we play with fire. We play with fire and we get burned by the world itself. And so that is why, when we're examining and we're looking at these different grounds, I mean, yes, the wayside is one that they don't really even listen to the word of God. They don't even care about that. So whether they're forced to come to Mass, or whether they do it just to please people and keep people quiet, they are clearly just nominal Catholics. But then as you move to the other grounds, you see that with these two other grounds, they are similar, the rocky and the thorny grounds. They are ones that hear the word of God. They're taken in by it for a little bit. But because they don't have fertile ground, there is not a good place for things to grow, they lose the faith. They lose that sense. They lose, you know, clearly listening to this word of God. And so with the thorny ground, so they take it in, they listen some, but because they have not clearly, we can say, pruned the ground around them, the weeds, the thorns, it chokes up then this word of God. And so it does not stay with them. These are people that are too attached then to the world. And so, as I say, with the good ground, it is the one that we are striving for. It is the one that we must try to look at the characteristics of it and try to make that our own life. Because if not, we will see then the consequences. Because if we're looking at these four possibilities, you see to it that only the last ground is one that will actually take firm root. It is the only one that will actually allow the faith and your belief in God to grow. These three other ones, they will not. And so I think that is what can happen in our own lives. Though our faith has not penetrated into our lives, and that's where you get then the difficulties and the dangers of being almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. That you come to Mass, but it really hasn't sunk in. There are no firm roots. And if there are no firm roots, it won't grow. And it's almost as if we think that is sufficient, that we come to Mass, we listen, and that's it. We may listen, we may practice our faith for the Sunday, and then the rest of the week, we don't. And that is a danger for us. I mean, that is why our Lord gives this parable. What our Lord spoke back then, it can definitely be applied to today. And I would say even more so because of the way that the world is. I mean, in talking to the children at school, it is a completely different environment for them to grow up in than even that I grew up in. I try to tell them that I'm not that old, so I'm not that far away from them.
But it's a completely different environment. There are many more temptations and difficulties that they are faced with that a lot of the rest of us, we never even had to worry about in a way. And is one of the things that we actually talked about at the conference is this danger for basically our children, but then even our faithful. And one of the things that we talked about was this idea of the social networking. I mean, I mentioned to the school children, I mentioned to you parents when you had a conference, and I talked to you about, you know, be careful of letting your children on all these stupid social networking things. And it was reiterated by our conferences. So it wasn't just like Father McDonald going off on a tangent and, you know, being obnoxious and just saying, okay, Father, thanks, we appreciate it. It was something that we talked about and tried to see, how can we solve this problem? You have to see what is the danger with these things. And that is why if you don't understand that, your children will be choked up by the world. And then you will wonder what happened. It's like, I gave them the faith, we brought them to Mass, and then what? Well, as I say, they might be falling in one of these three categories. And so they are not putting into practice truly then listening to the Word of God. And granted, you know, obviously with the conferences and different things, there can be a use sometimes for these social networking things. But you have to wonder, what do our children need that with? I mean, even to the point, and granted, this may not apply to our children, maybe. But they were even saying that sometimes the children at school, they don't even talk to each other, and then they go home, and then they get on all these social networking, and that's the only way that they talk to them. It's kind of like, we have lost sometimes the ability to speak to people without technology. Have you ever noticed that a lot of times, and maybe you're thinking, it's like, well, Father, you're a prime example of that, that people have, they don't have the ability to speak to people? That they've lost that? Because if they can't use their cell phone or their computer to be able to do it, they're just lost? And we even talked about, it was kind of funny, they even talked about how it's destroying language. Sometimes you can't even understand what someone has, like text to you or something. You're like looking at it, it's like, what are these things? It's like, I mean, it's like almost like you need a code book to like figure it out. It's like almost like Morse code. You're like looking at it, it's like, okay, It was amazing. We had two gentlemen that came in, they're two doctors, but they came in and gave us some conferences from St. Mary's, Dr. Childs, both of them. And they gave us some like different, like just acronyms for like things that people use in texting. Wow. Like he'd write up on the board and he said, guess what that is? And we're all sitting there going like, no clue. Then he like explained it. It's kind of like, wow. They have their own language. It is scary, actually. It's scary that they've created their own language, which tries to get around their parents' authority in order to do it. Because they're texting things maybe in front of their parents, and somebody's like, you know, parent over shoulder. It's like, wow. It's like, you know, does anyone else feel that there's something wrong with this picture? If they're trying to deceive their parents when their parents are right, you know, standing over their shoulder, there's something wrong. You know, it's kind of like the thing is like you steal a cookie from the cookie jar and then you hear mom coming down the stairs. What do you normally do with it? You hide it. You're not going to be standing there holding the cookie thinking it's like, yep, I know it's dinner's coming in 5 minutes, but I wanted to have a cookie. You're going to hide it. You don't want to get in trouble. This is the same idea with this. And so that is the thing is, you know, I mentioned it just to the parents of saying, be careful of allowing your children with all these stupid things. But I think you have to put the parallel together. That if we see our children so caught up with this world, so caught up with all of these things, how are they going to hear the Word of God? I guess the only other means I could have is like text it to them, text my sermons to them. I could go online, I could Twitter my sermons. I don't even know what Twitter is, to be honest with you, but you hear that. But I mean, it's like, this is bizarre. And then we wonder why our children can't listen to the Word of God. It's probably because they have an iPod in their ears at church. I speak foolishly, as St. Paul said in the epistle. I hope. But that is the thing that we have to try to see. That our children, you know, may fall into some of these grounds, and maybe we've fallen into some of these grounds. Maybe we have allowed ourselves to not be a good ground. And so if we're superficial in our faith, if we just basically just, we come to Mass, we're nominal in our faith and different things, well, what are we going to give to our children? You cannot give what you do not have. And so if you do not have a strong faith, you are never going to give that to your children. And even sometimes you have a strong faith and you sometimes still even can't give that to your children. Because there is free will. Yes, I realize that. But if you don't even give them the environment to grow in the faith, if you don't even give them that opportunity to have fertile ground, you are basically waiting for a complete miracle for them to grow in the faith and to be strong Catholics. That is all you're waiting for at that point. You have set yourself up for the only hope you have is an absolute miracle. God can do it. I realize that. But realize that also God is not going to just do miracles for the sake of doing miracles. And so that is something that we must consider. This is going to be kind of a theme for a few Sundays, because it is something that it worries me that there can be kind of a facade that is placed there. And as I say, let those that have ears, let them hear. Great. Or as the saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it is something that applies, well, then do something about it. As I say, if we're just looking at the good ground, yes, we could maybe say how many souls fall into that. But that is what we have to be striving for. We cannot be content in being by the wayside, by being rocky ground or thorny ground. We can't be content with that. Very clearly, our Lord says what happens to their faith. They lose it. And if we lose our faith, we will never get to heaven. And so again and again, you may think, you know, that I'm bent on the one question that I brought up on the Feast of the Holy Family. Why do some of our children lose the faith? Well, these are the things that we have to consider. All of us are a work in progress. All of us are striving to get to heaven. But if we don't allow our children to have a fertile ground, a good ground, they will never grow. And as I say, you can easily look at those parallels in terms of if you've ever planted something, try to have something to grow. You've got to do something for it to grow. You have got to make the ground fertile. You have got to make that it would take what you're planting in it. And then you've got to do something in making it grow. Watering it, making sure you put it where there's sunshine if it needs sunshine to grow. And that will be the way that it will truly grow. Again, there is still the element of free will in that. But still, if you've done everything that is possible, everything that you could possibly do for your children, then God will not hold you accountable for that. Because he will realize at that point it is because of their free will that they turn their back on him. But if not, if you don't have a truly Catholic environment at home, if you don't have these things in order to allow your children to grow, well, what good will that be? And that you will be held accountable for. And that's why I say it's all well and good. We have all these people come to Mass here and different things. But then the question becomes, okay, well, is everyone still living a Catholic life when you go home? With some of my smaller parishes, I kind of jokingly told them, I said, what if I just showed up at your house one day? What would you do? I think some people would like close the blinds, lock the door, and just tell the children, be quiet. Don't say anything. That looks like Father McDonald's car out there. Just think about that. Would you be ashamed if I just like popped into your house? And besides the point, if it maybe it wouldn't be as clean as you'd like or whatever, who cares about that? That's the least of my problems. But would you be ashamed? Or I told the children at school, if they have like Facebook or MySpace accounts, what if I became a friend? Would you be embarrassed? You know, they should think about these things, because then if they are doing something, or, you know, it's like, why? My parents don't know my password. They're not allowed on my account. It's like, why? Because naturally, what does it give you the feeling? You have something to hide. I mean, that's just sad. And so that's the thing that I think that we have to try to consider. So in some ways, I felt vindicated when we had those conferences on social networking. It's like, now I can go back with the authority. Because I think it's true. It is something that is a genuine concern for us as priests. Yes, we have to understand that technology can be a good thing if used properly. Fine. I'm not anti-technology. But the misuse of it, I am. Because that will be something that will lead souls to hell. And I've seen enough of that junk that I realize that that is a grave danger in that. And maybe you feel that you're above it, that you can't. It's like, be careful. Pride cometh before the fall. And so that's where something that we have to try to examine. Are we allowing the things of the world choking us up? Are we allowing all of these things? And as I say, it is a genuine concern that I have. And I say that as the pastor of souls, of just not just, okay, I'm going to pinpoint people, but genuinely saying, is it a facade that you're living? That you would do things that you realize God and Father McDonald or anyone else, it would not be pleasing to them. You know, the music we listen to or the things that we watch, the movies and different, you know, whatever it may be. And that's why I say, would it be something that you would be scared to death for me just to drop into your house? If that's the case, then you've got to think. You have got to do something differently. Because don't be fooled. God sees everything that we do. And therefore, we will be held accountable for everything that we do. And so this application, when we look at this ground, it is very clear to us, or it should be very clear to us, of what ground we have to strive for. Or really, what ground we need to be. And so pray and to think. And as I say, this will be somewhat of a theme as we enter into Lent. Because I think the more that we can talk, the more that we can think about it, the more we can pray about it, possibly the more that people can put it into practice. Because as I say, otherwise, if not, the faith is just superficial. It is not penetrating into your soul. And it's clearly my obligation, my responsibility to try to get you to heaven. And so that is something that we must try to strive to together. So as I say, pray for the grace to listen to the word of God. To be that fertile ground, that good ground of what God is saying to us, of what God speaks to us. That we can say with like St. Paul that through the grace of God, I am what I am. And so that therefore that we will have ears to hear the word of God. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.